Good afternoon and welcome to the BFF Banking Group First Quarter 2025 Earnings Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, press star and two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimiliano Belingheri, Group CEO, and Giuseppe Sica, Group CFO. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for the reporting of our first quarter results. The more important events happening in Rome. So appreciate that you are here with us listening to our results. We're pleased to report a good start of the year in many respects, with adjusted net profit of 35 million, which are in line with our targets, despite the higher rescheduling of the factoring portfolio, which is revenues that are deferred and will be recovered in the following quarters. Factoring had a strong start of the year with profit before tax up 9% year over year on a loan book, which has grown at 5% year over year. Italy has been back in a growth with double digit growth of 10% plus, and we report the highest level of volumes in the first quarter in the history of our group. At the same time, because we didn't collect as much in terms of NTI and 40 euros in the first quarter, we continue to accumulate our off-balance sheet reserves. So we had an increase of over 81 million compared to June when we changed the accrual account. The strength of the business continues also in terms of liquidity. We have 8.5 billion of deposits and a loan-to-deposit ratio of 68%. On the important issue of past due, we continue our work to reduce the stock of past due, which is down 5% from December. Importantly, we have 190 million, which is 15% of the stock of past due in cure period, which is expected then to come off the past due calculation over the next quarter. That's more than double the level that we had a quarter ago. We continue also to contract the contaging invoices. We are now down by an additional 25 million compared to the previous quarter, and over 100 million reduction since the reclassification. Capital, therefore, continues to increase. We have a CET1 ratio of 13.7%, which is above our target, but significantly is above the level we had before we reclassified the portfolio in June of last year. As an important thing to notice, our bond portfolio has swung in positive territory with an improvement of 70 million year on year. It's helped to collect, but they give a sense of the future profitability of that portfolio, and we expect to gather, to launch our deposit gathering activities in Greece at the end of this quarter. If we move to page 4 on the details of the balance sheet, worth highlighting the loan book at 5.8 billion, which is recognized for the first quarter. The bond portfolio continues to shrink following our strategy. And as I mentioned, we have a positive mark to market now of 12.5 million compared to minus 67 million of last year, given the dynamic on interest rates and the credit spread of Italy. Deposits continue to accrue in transaction services, and therefore we have managed outflows in our online deposits that we manage as a buffer in terms of liquidity. We are fully compliant with the MREL requirements, and you see the difference in our bonds issued, which has had an impact also on the interest net interest income of the group. The capital generation has been strong, as I mentioned, with 143 bps of capital generated in the last quarter. In terms of P&L, core revenues is just below first quarter of 2024, driven by $12 million of rescheduling, which is deferred revenues for the following quarters. We have a reduction in the cost of funding by over $20 million, despite $7 million of costs for the MREL issuance, which we think is a positive indication also how flexible is our funding structure. And the group PBT is below last year, but we've seen a good growth of the factoring in lending portfolio and factoring lending profitability, despite the lower rates of this rescheduling impact that we see. I leave the floor to Giuseppe for the presentation and conclude the presentation.
Thank you, Max. I will now move to slide 6, where we show the key economic trends for the factoring and lending division. A few messages. First, gross interest income is down year on year. However, this is mainly due to higher reschedulings, which are expected to be recovered throughout the year. And this is despite lower interest rates. Second, other income is stable year on year and importantly includes 3.8 million of recovery rights. Third, and importantly, gross yield on average loans has decreased less than the LPI reference rate, with MRO rate down 1.45% versus a gross yield down 90 bps. Obviously, cost of funding is down as well. Moving to the bottom part of the slide, total LPI and recovery funds are up 124 million or 11% year on year. And off-balance sheet funds, which are part of our deferred profitability, are up 81 million since June 24, i.e. post-step up of the accrual rate. Moving now to slide 7 on factoring and lending loan book and volumes. The group loan book is up 5% year on year, and importantly, Italy loan book is up 10% year on year, reflecting higher volumes, on which I will comment in a moment. Spain is down. This reflects repayment due to cash injection by the government at the end of 2024. And finally, on the loan book, let me highlight France, which is starting to be material for the group with significant potential for further growth. Moving to volumes, these are up 4% year on year and represent the highest first quarter ever for BFF. Italy is up 10% year on year, improving the trends already observed in the fourth quarter of last year. And Poland is also significantly up. I will now move to slide 8 on payments. The number of transactions continues to show a positive trend and is up 4% year on year, with an increasing component of instant payments. Revenues are slightly down year on year. This is due to some flat fee metrics, while deposits are down mainly on lower check settlements. Important for us, moving to security services on slide 9, a few relevant points. First, assets under deposits have now reached 75 billion, and they're up 21% year on year. And this is reached thanks to commercial initiatives. Second, global custody assets under custody are close to 130 billion and are up 9% year on year. These positive trends are actually reflected in revenues, which are up 15% year on year. And importantly for our business model and for our growth, we have also recorded strong deposit growth to 3.8 billion or 28% year on year. Again, this reflects commercial initiatives and client asset allocation. Slide 10 on our cost base. Cost discipline is confirmed with OPEX and D&A up only by 4%, mainly due to a slight increase in G&A and ongoing investments in the business. Looking at the various divisions, factoring and lending, OPEX and D&A are up 2% year-on-year. Payments, 3% year-on-year, mainly related to ICT costs and investments for growth. Security services, and corporate services and corporate center, where most of our IT investments are concentrated, are up 6% year-on-year. Any variable remunerations to be assigned only after the removal of Bank of Italy funds. Slide 11 on our balance sheet. We confirm that funding remains ample, with a loan-to-deposit ratio at 68%, and importantly for the future, there has been an increase of 70 million of our mark-to-market on the held-to-collect portfolio. Going a bit more in detail, funding costs are below average reference rates, which are a blend of Euribor and WIBOR. Since first quarter 24, we have issued 600 million of MREL eligible securities, and this covered all our MREL needs. We have no ECB funding to be refinanced. As Max said, our ATC portfolio continues to go down in line with plans. NSFR and LCR are both up since December, with LCR up 25 percentage points, despite the growth of the loan book. Slide 12 confirms the low risk profile of the company. The slide is full of numbers, so let me follow the key messages on the slide. A, NPEs are down to 1.8 billion, and this is driven by an ongoing reduction of the total past due. B, 95% of our NPE exposure is represented by public administration, with NPLs are represented almost exclusively by municipalities in conservatorship. And following the communication already done in January 25 on one specific case, we have underway further appeals to the European Court for Human Rights to obtain central government obligation to pay. And the cost of risk stands at 4.2 basis points. Slide 13 gives a bit more of detail on past due. Contagion invoices are down another 25 million in the quarter. There has been a 25% reduction in the past due, driven by collection, proving, by the way, the rotation of our portfolio. New debtors from bonis in past due is only 11 million in the quarter, with 74 million of exposure to debtors in past due going back to bonis. So the new past due is really driven by contagion only. Fourth, exposure in Q4 is more than doubled since Q4. I will now move to slide 14 on capital generation. Our CET1 is above pre-credit reclassification level at 13.7%. This is despite a 50% increase in RWA and 65% RWA density. Capital generation in the quarter is 143 basis points, and total capital is also up similarly to 16.7%. As I mentioned before, all MREL requirements effective from January 25 are covered with ample buffer. Finally, you would probably ask questions anyways. The dividend policy is confirmed, subject to the lifting of the dividend ban by Bank of Italy. Let me now hand back the floor to our Group CEO for his final consideration.
Thank you, Giuseppe, for the very clear presentation. We leave a few takeaways for this presentation on page 15. We're off to a good start this year, now with our expectations. Good momentum in the factoring and lending business with double-digit growth in Italy, and with an increase in embedded profitability of the off-balance sheet fund. We continue a steady reduction in total past due and in the contagion invoices, and the new past due are almost entirely driven by the contagion effect, with a significant increase of the part of the portfolio which is in cure period, which in terms of outlook is very positive for the continued reduction of the past due and increased efficiency of our RWA density, which translates in a good core capital generation with a CET1 which is now fully restored to the level that we had before the reclassification of last year, and therefore positions as well for the future. So thank you again for joining us today, and we welcome your questions, which we will answer now.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. to ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, press star and two. The first question comes from Tommaso Nieddu of Kepler Cheuvreux.
Hello and good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on volumes. They were good numbers. Obviously, we were also comparing with easy comps. But I wanted to focus on France. Where do you think we could see the region in the next few years? And if you can give us some colors on that. And then the second question is on the cure period amount. Looking at the amount, this is much higher than in the last quarters. Theoretically, I understand that as more as you are going to collect your contagion portfolio, the more past due should be reduced. But is there something more behind that? And can you give us more color on that as well? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Look, on volumes, I think, yes, we're off to a good start. France is providing support in that growth. It's a very small market for us at the moment, but it's really a country which has a structurally very high expenditure in goods and services, with a portion of those expenditure which is paid late. And importantly, a lot of our customers already work there. Now, we have these results without even a physical presence in the country, and we are delivering at the level we were expecting with a branch opened there. So we think actually, compared to our expectations, the market can actually deliver quite a bit, particularly once we will have the ability to open the branch there. In terms of the past due, you correctly pointed out two key things, which also Giuseppe highlighted before. The first one is the past due cure period at 190 million, which is actually a substantial increase compared to the ones we had in the previous quarter, which will then translate into a lower level of past due going forward. But the second aspect I would like to highlight is on page 13, the second to last part, 11 million of new past due generated in the quarter. That's not the contagion invoice, that's the total past due of new debtors generated in the quarter, which actually indicates, confirms what we said always to the market, which actually structurally our business model is unchanged on the front book. We're actually dealing with the back book issue, which is getting solved steadily and should restore a level of RWA density, which is more in line with the real risk profile of this business.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuela Meroni of Intesa Sanpaolo.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on the rescheduling in collection. I'm wondering if you can share with us what are the reasons behind this high rescheduling in collection that we have had in this quarter, and if the starting point for the second quarter would be the level of NII plus this 12 million that was the rescheduling impact in the quarter. The second question is again on the past due trend. I think that it was a very good sign that your past due declined, and these are just 11 million euros of new past due from debt or from bonus to past due. I'm wondering if you expect such a trend to continue also in the next quarter. And the last question is on the dividend ban. I'm wondering if you have some information about the potential removal of the ban. Thank you.
On the dividend ban, we have no news. We continue with a good line of communication with Bank of Italy, and we communicate to the market as soon as we have. I think the good thing is actually the restored capital position, which gives us a good buffer of capital, which I think is quite reassuring, and also the energy density, which has improved over the last quarter. In terms of past due trend, well, we continue to operate to reduce the past due. We indicated that a lot of the activities that were put in place in the last year take a bit of time to play out, and so we expect an acceleration proportionally with the release of the past due over time, also simply for a mathematical reason, which is highlighted actually on page 13. Because you need only 1% to have the assets in past due, the reduction of the contagion invoices is a disproportionate effect when those get reduced towards the end of that 1%. And so, we've always said it's not going to be a linear trajectory, and that's why we expect things to improve even better in the following quarters. Huh? Yeah, but clearly, we're doing a lot of work on that respect. The rescheduling collection, remember, we don't control when the debtors pay us. It's basically their decision. So depending on the choice they make in terms of paying certain invoices or not, if the invoice has reached our expected collection date, then we set a new collection date to keep the IRR of the portfolio constant. So you can't necessarily add that amount of rescheduling to the next quarter, because it might take 6-9 months to collect, but it's an amount that gets recovered, and in a sense keeps the profitability of the business at a pretty good level. Actually, we did highlight, but I think it is an important point, the fact that in terms of spread in a declining interest rate environment, actually, we have improved the yield of the portfolio, and it's not a given. And so there's something worth flagging, because, again, it provides a support for the target given to the market.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Lisi of Equita.
Thank you for taking my questions. Good afternoon. The first one is related to the 2026 guidance you provided in February. Just if you confirm it, you can confirm it or provide an update on that, and if you can provide some more color on the trajectory for this year. And in particular, I want to ask you on volume growth and loan growth that with ADAPT are showing signs of recovery, but in some way are still below which was the original target in the plan, that was a growth, I remember, in terms of CAGR, if I remember well, of about 10%. So just to understand, when do you expect in the current market environment to come back to that level, or if this level is still a reasonable CAGR that we can imagine over the next few quarters, the next few years. Thank you.
In terms of guidance, frankly, we made a pretty clear statement. No? The performance is aligned with what we expected, and therefore aligned to the guidance we have given. So we have not more than that to say. We think we're off to a good start, and we continue to deliver against those targets. In terms of volumes and loan growth, remember, you're seeing in a portfolio that churns very quickly, no? You need to look at the long-term trend, and not a single point in time may not be necessarily the best representation. For us, what is important is that we're seeing strong growth in volumes across many geographies. We have a good pipeline. We have a rejuvenated, re-energized sales team. We think there are plenty of opportunities. Remember, it's also a team that has changed the leadership around that in the middle of the quarter. So we think actually, because we're looking at, in a sense, the past, something which is already for six weeks old, if you want, in terms of numbers, we expect to see positive results also for the organizational changes and the upgrade of the team we've made. To answer, again, we confirm the targets of Giga in terms of growth.
The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca.
Hello, good evening. A couple of questions from my side. The first is on the trend in volumes that was very strong in Italy, especially in the NHS segment. So the question is if there is, as I suppose, an impact of the large contracts that you have announced last year. Possible to give a color of how much comes from that large contract. And on the contrary, the PA segment is not so brilliant. So if you could comment what is happening there and also in Spain. And the second question on the rescheduling impact, which was negative above last year. You didn't provide this data previously. If you could help us to understand this dynamic. Thank you.
Yes, on public administration in Italy, I think it's driven mostly by the lower volumes that we've seen around utilities. In Spain, the volumes have been driven mostly by a contract that we have lost, but was a contract which has a fairly low marginality, with a relatively limited amount of LPI interest, and therefore profitability for us was not very significant. So in terms of profitability, Spain is actually above budget for us. In terms of the rescheduling, if we have given the details, we thought we were changing the accrual rate, that number had a bigger impact on the net over recovery, so it's better to provide it a split. It's simply, as I mentioned before, the question of Andrea, the fact that we haven't collected some older invoices which were expected to collect in this quarter, and it didn't happen. For us, we take a very prudent approach to accounting, so we take the same internal rate of return, assume a new collection date, and take a provision at the revenue level, which keeps the IRR constant in a declining interest rate environment. Means actually we're deferring it to one more than proportional profitability.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one on your telephone. The next question comes from Giovanni Razzoli of Deutsche Bank.
Good afternoon. Two very quick questions. The first one, if you can share with us how much of the decrease in risk-weighted assets is related to lower operational risks, because it's mentioned in the press release. And the second question, again, on rescheduling the 12 million euros. So there has been a postponement in the payment schedule. I was wondering what was driving this. It is, normal in your opinion, and what makes you confident that you can recover this in 2025 in the next couple of quarters? Thank you.
Yes, in terms of the recovery, next couple of quarters, it's a mechanism of accrual. So we're keeping the accrual rate and the cost of will flow from the P&L. We expect to collect those receivables in the following quarters.
Excuse me to interrupt you, but your voice is very noisy. Can you speak louder? Because I struggle to understand.
Sorry, we were reshuffling some paper in front of the me. So thanks for letting me know. So what it said in terms of rescheduling, that amount is then spread out over the expected collection time of the invoice, which is usually a few months later, so that gets in the interest income in the following quarter. And therefore, because of the actual collection, if, for instance, we collect earlier than our expected collection time, then that amount actually goes through the P&L immediately. So that's how the mechanism works. In terms of the impact on RWA, I leave it to Giuseppe to answer.
It's around 40 bps, the reduction of the increase of common equity tier one due to operational risk decrease. So, and it's expected to remain constant over the next few quarters.
That's also an important in terms of operational risk, because remember the way the mechanism works is very much linked to reported profitability. After 2025, we'll lose, in a sense, 2022, where we had a one-off effect of the accrual of the 40 euros. And so even going forward, as Giuseppe mentioned, besides this year, we should actually have this benefit persisting over time, even with an increase in profitability.
For any further questions, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Belingheri and Mr. Sica for any closing remarks.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight and for the questions. And welcome the opportunity to talk to you in the future. Thank you very much.